Yes, if that doesn't get you pumped for the last half an hour of our show, I don't know what will. Leighton Hewitt, the former Australian tennis player, actually used to play the Rocky theme before big matches to get himself up and going. But for us, the Rocky theme also marks the start of our weekly segment, Combat in the Capital. We take a look at what's happening across the broad spectrum of combat sports and what makes those involved in those sports tick. And this week, we're looking at the sweet science, boxing. For decades, it's been the dominant combat sport in popular culture, and some of the most famous sports people of all time have been boxers. Names like Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson, Lucia Riker, and Floyd Mayweather Jr. But what does it take to be a boxer, and how has the sport evolved over the last 15 to 20 years? Today, I'm talking to four people involved in boxing, their coaches and boxers at various stages of their careers. Troy Huckstep is a coach. What's your full title, Troy, with ACT Boxing?
So I'm currently the acting president of the committee. So that's for Boxing ACT, is the organisation that administers amateur Olympic-style boxing here in ACT.
Thank you for that. We're also speaking to Andrew Smith, ACT development coach, Luis De La Rosa, she's a coach and masters boxer, as well as Russa Kabila, an elite boxer. Thank you so much to all of you for coming in this Sunday afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
All right, we'll start with those who are still climbing into the ring, with you, Louise and Russa. Russa, one for you to get started, I guess. How long have you been a boxer and what inspired you to get involved in the sport?
I've been doing boxing for, I think it's about 2 years now. I actually was doing Muay Thai for 4 years prior to that. And I guess I made the change or the crossover from Muay Thai to boxing. I'd always wanted to get involved in martial arts just to empower myself and to become more physically strong and to challenge myself. And I think with boxing as well, it's, I guess wasn't as popular as Muay Thai, and I just got better training as well. So those are some of the reasons why I got involved.
How does it compare to other sports that you might have been involved in? Is it a particularly, how does the training compare and that kind of thing?
The training is tough, and even for people who are really fit and strong and people who think they're very confident, the training is always tough, so it's always a challenge. I guess prior to martial arts, I was doing a lot of long distance running, and I thought I was very fit and very strong. And then when I started doing these classes, I realized that there's just, you never stop learning. It's, yeah, always a challenge, which is great.
Louise, how long have you been involved in the sport?
Hi there. Yeah, I started in the British Army boxing probably 18 years ago, the very first bout. It's more of a challenge, a bit of a, in a male orientated sport, it was more of a dare. And then it went from there.
And when did you realise that not only you could hold your own in the ring, but I guess dominate in the ring? Was there a moment that sort of crystallised in your mind where you thought, hang on, I've got a bit of talent here?
I don't know whether I have any talent. My coach here to my right. I don't know whether I've got talent. I just got absolute passion. It never goes. That's all I know, is that as the years go by, the passion never fades. So that's what keeps us going back.
It's a pure athletic contest, isn't it? I mean, we talk about various sort of one-on-one sports such as tennis and whatever else where you're trying to outpoint your opponent, but it doesn't get a much more grueling test of your athletic prowess than climbing into the ring with someone. How much of a role does fear play in it? Because to us mere mortals, it looks terrifying to do. Does fear play a big role when you're about to jump into the ring?
I think it definitely does impact the way you perform in the ring. And how you prepare to get in the ring, I think, is quite different for how you prepare for other sports. So I know I used to play rugby throughout most of my younger years, and I'd really be trying to sort of build myself up. So, but as soon as that whistle goes, you're ready to explode out on the field. Whereas boxing, it's more about trying to control yourself so that you can keep that adrenaline in check and have a nice steady performance throughout your designated rounds.
We're speaking to Troy Huckstep, coach and acting president of Boxing ACT. So as a coach, I guess, what are you looking for in someone who's relatively new to the sport?
Firstly, it's having someone who'll listen to instructions. That's important because again, with that fear, you get in the ring, it's very easy to be overwhelmed and just lose all composure and technique. So you want someone who's going to listen to the instructions, take on board what you're saying, and then apply it throughout the course of the fight. There's other basics that you can spot in a boxer early on that can tell you if they're going to make it or not, and that's just things like balance, being able to move effectively and not tripping over their own feet. And things like big, heavy punching isn't necessarily the thing that you're looking for right up. You build up to that.
Well, that was going to be my next question. How much is a successful boxing about technique? I know boxers in the past, such as Daniel Gill, who was a couple of times over world champion, who was an extremely technically proficient boxer. How much is technique and how much is power, strength and speed and that kind of thing?
Yeah, power, strength and speed definitely has its place. But for amateur boxing, it really is about technique, and we really emphasise that because you've only got three rounds to outscore your opponent. And you want to be... So it's more about getting the scoring punches throughout the course of those rounds rather than trying to ground them down and knock them out as you would in a professional fight where you've got a lot more rounds and you're taking a lot more punishment throughout the whole course of the fight.
Andrew Smith, ACT development coach, how have you seen the sport evolve? Clearly there are a few people on the panel here that have been involved with boxing for a number of years. How is the sport different to, say, 15 or 20 years ago? Has there been much of an evolving happening within the sport and how fighters not only take part in bouts but also prepare?
Well, there's been some changes in rules and so forth over that time. We've gone from the computer scoring system to the 10-point must system in that time. So the sport's been turned on its head in regards to that.
So can you give us a quick run-through of what that means?
Yeah, so you might remember after the Seoul Olympics, there was a bout with Roy Jones Jr. where he was blatantly ripped off, as a gift to the Korean athlete who he was fighting for the gold medal bout. So after that, they changed the rules. So back then we were on the 10-point must system, which is the same as the pros pretty much. They brought in a computer system where each judge pressed a button when they saw a clean scoring punch landed. So that changed all the tactics, it changed the sport around, and I believe it made it fairer. The 10-point must system is very subjective, depends on judges' opinions to a large extent. So we've come back to that system now, so that's changed the sport on its head again. There's been a lot of upheaval in IEBA and so forth coming into these Olympics, so we're not sure what we're going to have after this current Olympics in Tokyo. But generally, with the advent of the internet, Australia's always been a backwater in boxing, and we've always been extremely isolated. And a lot of the knowledge and coaching, I guess... depth of coaching skills hasn't filtered to us. We've always produced really, great physically conditioned boxers with great hearts, but technically we've always been behind the rest of the world, especially in Olympic or amateur boxing. With, the internet now and the dissemination of knowledge, we are catching up, but it's tough going. We're still a long way behind the top nations.
So there is still some work to do, despite the fact that Australia's sort of coming out of the shade and into the light in terms of boxing knowledge and training better and smarter.
I think the information's out there, but whether it's being harnessed and whether it's being accessed requires a structured, intelligent system. And I don't think we're quite there yet, but Boxing Australia's trying, and that's our ultimate goal.
We're talking combat in the capital and the evolution of boxing, particularly here in Australia. Rasa Kabila, for you, lots of sports people talk about the joy in their spot. It might be a golfer hitting a perfectly timed drive down the middle of the fairway. It might be a batsman or a batter hitting the perfect straight drive or a footballer kicking a goal. What's your favourite moment in boxing? What gives you the most joy? Is it a perfectly timed punch or some great defence? What are some of your favourite moments in the sport?
Well, I think, hearing the loud smack of, hitting the pad really hard is really satisfying. But I guess for me, the most important thing is, or the most satisfying thing is hearing feedback from my coaches that I'm progressing. I know that it's going to be a never-ending journey of learning. And so sometimes I think we can be very hard on ourselves, and it is a hard journey sometimes. So when we hear that kind of feedback, it's good to know that we're on the right track. I guess a win in a match is always a nice thing too, but it's not the only thing. Something I got told before I went into my match, which like a couple of days before, feeling really nervous, one of the coaches said to me, it's not about whether you win or lose, it's making that person remember you. So, you know, have them remember you when you leave.
So you're not easily forgotten. Yeah. I guess that goes into my next question, maybe for one for you, Louise. We hear in other sports about players drifting in the moment or going missing, for want of a better phrase. How do you make sure that you're in a bout and a toughly fought bout, that you maintain that you're in the present and you don't go missing mentally? Or is it just a matter of fact that if you do go missing or if you do let your guard down, the consequences are pretty immediate?
Yeah, I mean, you're in the moment, otherwise you're getting hit that a lot. And the thing in the ring is, if you're not in the moment, you've got people there who will stop it. So that's it. So it's not safe to the degree of 100%. You know, if you're not in the moment, you're at that risk, but there are people looking after you. If you lose yourself mentally in the moment, your coach can stop it and the referee can stop it. So you cannot lose your moment. Otherwise, yeah, you give the advantage.
It becomes
and you may not get it back.
It becomes pretty clear pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Troy Huckstedt, your coach and also acting president of Boxing ACT, how much work goes into keeping boxers, particularly those who are relatively new to the sport, safe, both in terms of keeping an eye on them as they're in the ring, but also teaching them techniques to make sure they're as safe as possible?
Yeah, there's a lot of emphasis on keeping all of the boxers safe because, you know, if we develop a reputation as being a dangerous sport, you just don't get that continuing participation. So it starts with good coaching. So having coaches that understand that there's no point just having someone exposed to heavy punches the whole time. So even when we're doing sparring and things like that, we focus on the technique. And there's a time and a place for building up the intensity, but it's not about having every session being pounding all of your students. You want them to be working on all of those fundamentals so that they can respond to those situations once they're in there. In terms of things like the equipment and all that, we have a lot bigger, better padded gloves than what you'd see in the professional fighting fights. And also in all categories except for our experienced elite male fighters, there's a headgear worn as well. And in terms of when someone's in the ring, we have doctors standing by, supervising all the fights. They all have to have annual medicals, as well as being inspected after the fight. And we also have a blood test done sort of once or twice a year, depending on the athlete's age as well, to make sure that no one's carrying bloodborne diseases as part of it. So safety really is a big part of that. And also whilst the fight is going on, you have the referees and the medical supervisors can stop the fight at any point if they see something dangerous is happening or if someone's putting themselves at risk.
Or if there's something they don't like that's happening in the ring, they've got the power to put a stop to it as soon as they like.
Yeah, for sure. And the coach can as well. Yeah.
Beautiful. All right. Well, thank you so much to all of you coming in. We've spoken to Louise De La Rosa, Rasa Kabayla, Andrew Smith and Troy Huckstep, all of whom are involved in boxing in the ACT. It's been an absolute pleasure to speak to all of you and good luck with whatever's coming up next.
Thank you very
much.
Cheers.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.